Our reading for this morning is from Luke 2, and I'll just read it. It's well known to you all. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And for the message this morning, I hand over to our pastor, Matt Goodsey.
Thank you, Randall. And good morning, everyone. Glad tidings on this wonderful day. I might say how I yearn to be back in person after almost a year of Zoom church, not because I'm a raging extrovert, but because, far from it, but just because the rawness of being together. Some ways it's much harder, but so much better at the time. At the same time. Look forward to having communion with you later on, led with us to us by Michael, and, yeah, having communion together in person is something I very much look forward to. Still, this time of the year, we do get lots of communications with people that when we don't see people in person. And yes, I'm talking about the Christmas cards we receive this time of the year. You probably received quite a few cards over the last few weeks, and I've got a few of them to show you. They're quite recognisable. I hope you can see that. You see these figures and immediately you know what the cards are referring to. We know the characters. We probably know the scriptures or part of the Bible that these pictures are referring to. It's quite a well-known story. Here's one of the shepherds that Randall just read out. And finally, one probably not biblically accurate, but anyway, it describes some of the scenes that we know. Now, I show these to you because it's quite a familiar story, this story that Ranald just read out from Luke 2, probably the most familiar one in the Bible. If I was to give you a quiz on Luke chapter 2, you'd probably do well without having to look at the scriptures. For example, who was the baby that was born? Where was the baby placed when the baby was born? Why was the baby placed where it was? That is, why couldn't they get accommodation that night? What was the mum's name? What was the dad's name? And finally, what town were they? Was the baby born in? Now, you could probably rattle off those answers and I assume you'd all get 100%. And just for the record, the baby was Jesus. The baby was placed in a manger. They couldn't get accommodation at the inn. The mother is Mary, the father is Joseph, and Jesus was born in the town called Bethlehem. Though there's probably a few questions that could be asked to this passage, which might make us think a bit more. For example, do you know why Mary and Joseph were in? Harder question. Now, don't look at your Bibles. What is the name of the Roman emperor that was mentioned? Do I see a few of you sneaking, looking at Luke 2, verse 1? See, some of this story is not so familiar, is it? This part of the story that we might see in shop windows and things. So for the record, the emperor's name was Augustus. Oh, that's the name recorded in Luke 1 of 2. And also he ordered a census which caused Mary and Joseph to be in the town of Bethlehem. So this part of the story is often left out. So it's a lovely story. It's earthly. It's peaceful. This visceral story of birth. However, it does start in verse 1 and verse 2. And the beginning of this story says something about the Luke and the message he's trying to get across. So the first point about this, the start of this passage, is that verse 1 doesn't start with once upon a time in a land far, far away. This story is rooted in history, in a real time in history, in a real place, with real emperors ruling the land at the time and real governors. There might be some questions about the historical accuracy of verse 2 and the Syrian governor Quirinius. I practiced this name beforehand. I think it is Quirinius. But anyway, it's set in time and place. It's a real story. And note that in Luke's account, he doesn't mention the ruler of Judea, the local area. He mentions the ruler of essentially the whole world, or the whole world known at that time, the Roman Empire. So this news is not just for the locals. This news that Luke is telling us about is for the whole world. That's my first point. The second point about verse 1 and verse 2 is that the birth of Jesus is set against the background of those who claimed to be in charge, the emperor and the governor. Now, a bit about the emperor Augustus mentioned in verse 1. He's so named because he was often called the August One. It's not his real name. August means to be venerated or consecrated, to be most highly esteemed, in other words. His real name was Octavian, and they made statues in honour of him. He was said to have brought peace to the Roman Empire. In fact, he was the one who brought what's called Pax Romana, or Roman peace, Roman peace by violence mostly. And is even referred to as, get this, saviour. So Luke is doing something quite subversive here. He's setting up a contrast between the kingdoms of the world and this kingdom about to be ushered in by this new child being born. Now, we don't have any confrontation here. That comes later on. But Luke is being quite subversive. He's putting a jab into the sides of those who believe in the Roman Empire. He's putting a jab into the sides of those who misplace their hope in the political scene compared to the true hope and true peace that will be found in Jesus, a true king. And there's a contrast also, on the other hand, when there's a comparison between the wealth and the palaces of the emperors and the governors compared to these humble beginnings of Jesus, to the point where his parents were rejected and cast out to a barn to have their baby. So you got these very stark contrasts being set up here. So what does all this mean? Firstly, I'd like you to picture, just have one thing in your mind, which Mary showed in her children's story, and that is Jesus in a manger. Jesus, this baby, in a donkey's feeding trough. This is our central image. This is a humble beginning, but also quite a humiliating start to life. And it says a lot, because we know from the rest of the scriptures that this is quite a remarkable thing. This one, the Word, who created the earth and the cosmos, and as one song sings about, this Word who flung stars into space, is also the Word who became flesh, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And also in Philippians 2, it says, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, or we could say today, as a baby. He humbled himself. So this one who flung stars into space is now in a feeding trough, where the cows and the donkeys can't get to their food. And this is a wonderfully simple and elegant way to understand who God is. God, as one placed in a donkey's feeding trough, helps us understand who he is and how he comes to us. The Almighty God entering the chaos and the insecurities and the fear of being human, not just a grown human, but an utterly helpless baby. This says something about what God wants us to know about him. What this does mean is that God comes low in order to lift us up. God loves us before we have a chance to do anything. And secondly, what this tells us, this picture of God in a feeding trough, it makes us question where real power lies and how this creation really works. Power doesn't lie with the movers and shakers of this world, the governors and emperors. Real power lies with God, who risks everything to invite us to accept his love for us. So I wonder, with this picture of Jesus in a feeding trough, set against the powers, the emperors, the governors of the world, I wonder where the governors and the emperors may be in our lives. Those places where we use power and control to provide ourselves security and security from fear. What we have here of this image of Jesus, God in the flesh, in a feeding trough, is a direct inversion of the world we are so invested in and the world which so infiltrates every thinking. He turns everything upside down. God in a feeding trough is where true wisdom lies. And I think it's something to ponder on this day. We don't have to secure ourselves against fear and vulnerability because God comes to be with us. He's with us. And this is an enormous relief. It means that we can be vulnerable. We can be vulnerable because God is vulnerable with us. It's mentioned also with the reading in Luke 2 that this is good news, as Luke quoted the angel who appeared to the shepherds. Good news, not because it's a news of positive thinking and everything's going to be all right, but good news because this is a risky story of vulnerability. God becoming one of us to be with us. And God comes to be with us in whatever situations we find ourselves in. He's amongst the fear. He's amongst the insecurity. He's amongst the worries that we have. He knows what it's like. He's experienced it. He knows when we experience points of no return, when there seems like there is no hope. And yet, he comes to be with us to redeem any situation. As one theologian said in the second or first century, Irenaeus, he said, Jesus became what we are in order. It's a wonderful picture to ponder today of God in a feeding trough where he places himself in a place of complete trust and dependence on the parents because we know that we have a faithful God who cares for us. He risks vulnerability. He risks rejection so that we would accept his unfailing love for us. And this is a wonderful story we look at today.